Someone would say, well, I'm looking for the kingdom of heaven. Well, the Bible said the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is one and the same. So then the kingdom of heaven is within me. Now, someone would say, well, that makes it kind of difficult for me to go there if it's on the inside of you. No more difficult than it was when Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have any life in you. Let's give the Lord a hand. Ain't a bit harder. Ain't a bit harder to understand, is it? So then the kingdom of God is at hand. Men press their way into the kingdom of God. Folks, we need to get over this thing of just feeling like we've had some kind of experience yesterday and last week, and now we're back this week to have another experience, and when we're gone, everything's gone, we're the same old you and me, and we didn't get anything, and we haven't got anything, and we'll be back next week for another experience. That's sad, isn't it? To worship God like that, that's sad. I went and I got something. I have never lost it. It's still on the inside of me, and I'm on the inside of it. And it's growing bigger and better every day, and God is forming on the inside of me. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. And Christ Jesus is forming within me more and more to that perfect man, the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm more of him today than I was yesterday. That's right. I'm more of him today than I was yesterday. Somebody would say, well, does that mean that you've got a greater measure today? It means I released a little more of that that's on the inside of me to this outside man. You know, as it was with Moses, and the Bible said, and his face was aglow. And they had to put a veil over his face because the wisdom of God was so great that Moses' face was like the sunlight. They couldn't look at it. You ever tried to look at somebody's torch or when they're welding? That little light down there is so bright you can't look at it. And that's the way it was with Moses' face. It got that way with Stephen's. And his face lit up like an angel. Jesus on the mountain, it wasn't just his face, but when he stood on the mountain over there, the Bible said that he became, as to his garments, whiter than any fuller in the earth could white the garment. It was so white, it was so beautiful. And the Bible said he glistened. He glistened like the sun sparkling on diamonds. He glistened. Wouldn't that have been a beautiful sight to have seen Jesus? Whiter than the snow, the Bible said, and just glistening and sparkling like the diamonds. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Praise God. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? If you'll go with me someday, I'll let you see how I sparkle. Yeah, I will someday. You just go with me and see. Hallelujah. I'll just let you see me outshine the noonday. Oh, somebody said, you're just a boasting. I sure am. I'm just a boasting. Hallelujah. I'm a boasting. I'm a boasting in the Lord and what he said. I believe it with all of my heart. Paul said, there's a crown laid up for me, and for everyone that will do his will and love him, there is a crown laid up for them. Somebody says, I hope so, and I'm trying to believe it. And Brother Pike, I believe if we live good or if we get better, that we've got a chance, perhaps we'll make it. No, that wasn't what he said. Paul said, and there is a crown laid up for me. Somebody says, but he was so good. He was so good that he killed the people. He stoned the people. I'm talking about good Paul. He put them in prison. Good Paul. He said, there's a crown that's laid up for me. Come on, folks. Somebody said, yes, but God would not have given it to him like that. God saved him. And that's what he was doing. How good was you when God saved you? What was you doing? So then God's going to give you a crown? Why is he going to give you a crown? You say, but I'm good. The Bible said there's none good but God. Ain't none good but God. He didn't give good Paul a crown. That wasn't what it was. Paul was elect. He was the predestinated of God. He heard the call and he answered the call. And when he answered the call, he discovered by revelation that as Brother Branham used to sing that song, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. He discovered that he was one of them, that he was a son of God. Somebody says, and when we get there, if we live good, but it didn't say that. It said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? He discovered that he was a son of God, and he said, folks, I've got a crown. Why? Because sons of God have crowns. Is there any sons of God here?
Amen.
Do you believe in crowns? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's getting better all the time, ain't it? Somebody said, how can I obtain under this great thing, Brother Pye? Just believe. Just believe. Somebody said, believe how good I am. No, believe how good he is to give you a crown when you're wretched. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said, well, Brother Pike, you talk like you don't think too much of us. Like Billy Sunday used to say, God save the backslidden preaching, that wretched deacon. And Lord, this backslid church, help them get straightened out. And Lord, I find no fault in you. Hallelujah. Said you couldn't find no fault in that just man. Let's read just a little bit from the book of St. Luke. We're talking about the good things of God tonight. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elijah had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said unto his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. But he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. He's saying that some of you are not going to die till you see the kingdom. Obviously, here's one of the things he was talking about. And it came to pass about an eighth day after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out. And it teareth him, and he foameth again, and bruising him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tare him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one of all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not the saying, and it was hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, all the same shall be great. Now, I want you to notice that the Lord did what they could not do. Now the thought is this. It says that he called his disciples, 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Isn't that what I read to you? And now here we are. The Bible said that they are going about everywhere and they're preaching the kingdom of God and healing the sick. And then all of a sudden a man brings a child to them that's possessed of the devil. Now I want to say this for a reason. It says here, and all of a sudden here comes a man, and this man has a problem. His child is possessed of the devil, and these disciples have caught the attention of the people because they're going everywhere healing the sick and they're casting out devils. And all of a sudden, here this man is, and they can't do anything for his son. See, now what is it? Someone would say, well, what is it? Jesus answered. They said, why could we not do it? I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. They could not. Why could they not? They had the power to do it. Can you deny that the power was there? I'm reading chapter 9 of the book of St. Luke. All of this is in one chapter. They received their commission. They received their authority. They received their power. Right here in chapter 9, at the beginning of chapter 9. And this is in the same chapter. And by the time we get to the 41st verse, Jesus is saying, you cannot, for one reason. You cannot, for one reason. Faithless and perverse generation. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He said in chapter 9, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. Why is it that they can't handle this one devil that's come up and confronted them? It said power over all devils. Isn't that right? It's very obvious that this was a devil. Said, lo, a spirit taketh him and tarryeth him. And then when they could not do it, the question was asked, why? He gave one answer, said, you're faithless. You're faithless. And then another thing he said to them, he said, you are perverse. You are perverse. Oh, somebody said, not so, Brother Pike. Nobody perverse here. Well, it said he called his 12 disciples. I take it that Judas was there. It said, and he gave them power. And the Bible said that Judas had obtained part of that ministry and failed by transgression. Sound like he was perverse. Someone would say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that he gave the devil power over the devil? He said, I chose 12 of you and one of you is a devil. No, he never gave the devil power over the devil. Jesus said the devil can't cast out the devil. His kingdom would be divided and it couldn't stand. But the thing is, though Judas was by predestination a devil to the extent that Satan entered into him at the supper and he went out and betrayed the Lord, and that was his fall when he failed by transgression. Oh, somebody says, I won't have that, Brother Pike. I don't believe that. Well, the Bible said the Lord turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. But he gave him the keys to the kingdom. Let's give the Lord a hand. Seem like there might be some things that we don't understand. So then here we are. I said that for a reason, and the reason I said that is to let you know that just because you're not doing what you need to do and what you ought to do and what you can do, it doesn't mean that you don't have the power to do it. It doesn't mean that you don't have the power to do it. Let me prove that. Let me prove that. Didn't Jesus say that if any man would say in his heart to a mountain to be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and should not doubt what he was saying, that man would have anything that he said? Didn't Jesus say, if you desire anything when you pray, believe that you receive it and ye shall have it? Didn't he say that? Did he say that to devils, or did he say that to children of God? He said that to children of God. Have we got any children of God? Then that means that you are believers. Isn't that right? Have you moved any mountains lately? Sound like you've got something that you're not using. Sound like you possess a potentiality. When he gave power to all of his disciples here, we admire the disciples. And we think, my God, I wish he'd give me that power. But the Bible said to repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then shall you receive power. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Christ was inside of the body of Jesus, to wit that God was in Jesus, reconciling the world back to himself. And the Bible said the Spirit driveth Jesus into the wilderness, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. Are you listening? Somebody would say, well, now there you are right there. Jesus went into the wilderness, and when he got into the wilderness, he got power from God. You don't believe that, do you? Can't you just imagine God going into the wilderness so he can get some power? Let's give the Lord a hand. How many believe that God was in Christ Jesus? And the Bible said the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus, that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. For the Bible said, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh, that is the body of Jesus. He was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels and caught up into heaven. Do you believe that Jesus went into the wilderness to get power? It didn't say he got any power there. All he got in the wilderness was a hard way to go. How do you know that? All the devil did was give him a hard way to go in the wilderness. He didn't get any power in the wilderness. He went there to be tempted of the devil 40 days. And in those times, he did eat nothing. He went into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, tempted of Lucifer. He went into the wilderness to have a hard time. But what was the purpose? It was to subdue the flesh. It was to subdue the flesh. See, this is why I tell you a lot of times, you're not saved by subduing the flesh. You're not saved by fasting. You're not saved by praying. You're not saved by living good and doing good and giving to people. That's not how you're saved. God so loved you that he saved you by predestination, foreknowledge. He saved you before the world ever was. He gave you this in Christ before the world ever was. See, he didn't save you by your goodness. He so loved you while you were yet in your sins that he let Jesus die for you to save you. So then, you understand what I'm saying? So then what I do in fasting or I do in praying or whatever I do in these things, I'm not doing that to get salvation. I'm doing that because I've got salvation. You believe that? How many people you find that without salvation, it goes around fasting and praying? We do that because we have salvation. I pray for the spirit of revelation because I have salvation in my heart. And I want God to form on the inside of me. I want to travail till Christ forms on the inside of me. And I want to travail till Christ forms on the inside of you. I want to pray. I want to talk with you. I want to be patient. I want to treat you like a mother with a little babe and nourish you until Christ can be formed on the inside of you, until Christ is strong and mighty in your life. That's my job as a minister. It's my delight. So then, I don't fast and pray so that I can get salvation. I don't fast and pray so that I can be better in the sight of God. The Bible said, for God is perfected forever, them that are sanctified, having made us perfect. How then could I fast and get any better? These disciples that could not cast the devil out, it wasn't because it was a matter of being good or bad. It was a matter of being faithless. And the perverseness here is indicated as to being something that faith could eradicate. For he purifies our heart by faith. The Bible said, draw nigh to God, and then God will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil after that you draw nigh to God, and the devil will flee from you. You know, the problem is, like these disciples, they had not drawn nigh to God. You say, what makes you believe that, Brother Pike? Because later on, they said, why could we not do this? And he said, this kind goeth forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting. So then somebody said, well, that would make them better. No, that wouldn't make them better. That didn't make them any better. The Bible said, if I do without my food and fast, am I any better to God? God said, is this the fast that I've chosen for you to bow down your head like a bulrush, to put on sackcloth and ashes? That's not the fast that I've chosen. He told them it was a conformity. He said, the kind of fast that I've chosen is for you to draw nigh to God. When you take the widow into your home, when you take the orphans into your home, not that they've got to come to live with you, but they're overseas, they're all around you, they're throughout the world. And when you begin to give to them, you've taken them into your home. You've taken them into your mind. You've taken them into your desire. And you're doing something for them. Every day you think about them. You don't think about Monday to Sunday feeding the belly, the old serpent that's on his belly, and feeding the belly of all of your family and hatching off some more so you can feed their belly. You don't do that. What you're trying to do is kill the bunch you got and get rid of yourself while you're doing it. So that Christ can live. And Christ can do something concerning his heavenly Father. And be about his Father's good pleasure and his Father's good will. So then I say again, we are conforming to God. We are surrendering to God. This is why Jesus went into the wilderness, to defeat the flesh. After he defeated the flesh, he stood up and he boasted in his heavenly Father. And he said, I thank thee, Heavenly Father, because thou hast given me power over all flesh. All flesh. What do I have to do to have power over all flesh? Subdue my flesh. Subdue my flesh. Once I subdue a body, that takes care of all of it. Because every body is alike. Every human body is alike. It's got the same problems. Elijah, a man of like passion. See, when we subdue one body, that means the devil is froze out. And that means we've got power over all flesh. All flesh. That's why that we have this great, wonderful power over the devil. See, if you've got power over all flesh, you've got power over the devil. Are you listening? When you got power over the flesh, you got power over the devil. But you don't have any power over the devil until you subdue the flesh. That is to say, any power as to a utilization, any power as to a benefit, any power as to being used of God. Though you've got power, though the disciples had power, they had not processed the body. Though God had given them power, they had not processed the body. See, to the degree of being able to master the situation. So then, it was while Christ was with them that they were inspired and things were happening. And they felt like that they were just burning the fields. But when the Lord left them by themselves and they had to go out and do what they had to do, they began to run into problems. Because instead of subduing the body, instead of fasting, instead of praying, instead of living a life of solitude, they were out of the magnitude of the thing. They were out here like some of our ministers around here, some of our playboys around here. You know, they were out building themselves a name, and they came back rejoicing, you know, over what they had seen happen here as to the things of being something in the world. And Jesus said, don't do that. He said, rejoice because your names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. By foreknowledge, we've come to know God. We're God's elect. Our names are already written down in the Lamb's book of life. We're not trying to get our names in the Lamb's book of life. It was wrote down before the world ever was. And the Bible said everyone's names that are not written in the Lamb's book of life, they'll wander after the flesh. That's right. The women will lipstick it up. And the man, they'll go after their passions. They'll go after the flesh because they are of the world. They're not written in the Lamb's book of life. Their names are not written down in the Lamb's book of life. And they'll wander after the beast, which is the flesh. So then to master the devils, you've got to master the flesh. Though you're baptized, though the mighty Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, is living on the inside of you. And the Bible said if any man deny that that's happened, then he's an antichrist. So then you find that there is a spiritual power on the inside of you. But for you to utilize that ability, for that spirit to speak as in tongues, for that spirit to discern, for that spirit to bring forth the wisdom of understanding, for that spirit to be able to prophesy, you've got to subdue the outside. You'll get up and prophesy. You'll get inspired because the rain comes on the just and the unjust. You get inspired. You think, oh, hallelujah, glory to God. I'm great and I'm mighty. You'll prophesy and then find out you prophesied in Baal. You'll find out that you prophesied in Baal. Somebody says, no, Brother Pike, but that's what Saul did. Saul got up and prophesied. But when he got right down to it, he was right back in the flesh. He done the things he'd done, but when all was over, he was right back in the flesh, coveting the things of the world. You know what the problem is? Somebody wants to be a businessman out here and have a great income, have a lot of prestige out here, and still wants to be a great preacher, you know, so he can take the preeminence, rule over the crowd, lord over the congregation, and still do what he wants to do. God doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. That's what's wrong with a lot of the men on TV. They want to be great businessmen, and they want to have the eyes of the people. And they wind up as adulterers, and they wind up in a problem because of that. God said, come out from the world. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, he said, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. He said to the man of God concerning riches, he said, flee these things, O thou man of God, and lay hold on eternal life. For many following after the riches of the world have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. See, so you find that God puts a difference between you. If you're going to go after the things of the world, he puts a difference between you and the sons of God. So we see here that they possessed something that they were not able to fully utilize. Jesus, the first thing he did, though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. And the Bible teaches having Christ on the inside of that body, he went into the spirit, into the wilderness, and there he stayed 40 days and nights. Staying there 40 days and nights. And then he returned in the power of the Spirit because he had subdued the body. The Spirit now had preeminence. Paul did the same thing. Paul did it to the extent he said, it's not me living anymore. I subdued the body. The body is now dead because of sin. Christ did that. And because he did that, that means that I can utilize this great ability of Christ. But even though it's dead, I've got to subdue this body. I've got to subdue this body. I've got to get control of this body. I've got to put this body down out of the way. Because the devil is ever accusing and the devil is ever interfering with my believing. Always. This Christ man on the inside, this man that Paul said, though the outer man perisheth, the inner man is renewed day by day. This outer man is always interfering with this inner man. To will is present, he said, but how to perform that as to the body, he said, I can't find. For when I would do good as to the inner man, I find that the devil, that evil is present with the outer man. That my human senses, my five senses, the creature, it's subject to vanity and the things of this world, and the lust is after the things of this world. The Bible said, know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy? So then the spirit on the inside of you, as your spirit, it lusteth under envy. It envies people that have money, that have position, that has cars, land, houses, appearance, all of these kind of things. See, it is envious until Christ comes on the inside and your spirit is given to Christ and it becomes one with Christ. And the more that you pray, the more that your spirit becomes one with Christ and the more that you fast, the more that the devil is pushed out of your body as to be able to take control of your senses like a parasite, and Christ gets bigger and powerful and more powerful and more greater until finally it's not you living but the inner man living, and you've completely killed out the outer man. You've completely subdued the outer man. You've cast down every thought that the devil doesn't have a thought anymore in your life. He doesn't have control over a thought anymore in your life. He may present it to you, but see, you don't give place to not one thought anymore. He doesn't even have one thought in your life anymore. And you are fully in the mind of Christ. And the Bible said, let not sin reign in your mortal body, to be holy in body and in spirit. So then I'm saying all of that to say this, that because God has done this, then you have an ability. He has given you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You have power over all the powers of the enemy. God has given you power. But why is it that you're not enjoying the power? Why don't you enjoy the power that God has given you? He gives you power. You've got power. You don't have to get power. You've got power. Jesus already had the power. He already was the power. But he didn't try to do any miracles until he went into the wilderness. He subdued the flesh, and then he came out. And the Bible said the first miracle that he did was at Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. So then we have this great power. We have this great potentiality. You have it. I have it. And all we've got to do is go forth in the power of the Spirit. The Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. And the devils were subject unto him. And they said of this man, never a man spake like this man. For his words are with power. See, you speak your words. I speak my words. But folks, that doesn't mean anything's going to happen. That's just a natural communication. But if I stay with God and I subdue the flesh and I do away with my mind and it's not my thoughts and it's not the devil's thoughts, then it has to be God's thoughts. And when God's thoughts come, then when I speak, it's God's word. And when it's God's word, then it's anointed word. It's anointed thoughts. And when I do that, that's anointed faith. And this is the way that God spoke the world into existence. He spoke the world into existence by the thoughts of Christ. For the Bible said all things were created by him. And all things were made for him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He is in the beginning. He is the first. He is the beginning of all things. It is Christ, the mind, the thoughts. That is the beginning of all things. And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever to 1,000 generations. This is why I say a lot of times the things I do to you. It's because I think how you waste your life. We sing that song, wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish had we stumbled on in sin and in shame. You have the opportunity to fast. And you have the opportunity to pray. And you have the opportunity to study the Word. And you have the opportunity to be something for God in a great, mighty way. That your prophet and may appear unto all. And they may glorify God within you. They may see that God's on the inside of you, whose temples ye are. So then you have an opportunity to grow in faith. And in the knowledge of the Son of God. And in the grace of God. You have this great, wonderful opportunity. You can do this. The great, wonderful opportunity that you have to grow in faith in God and to do the things of Christ. See, growing in the grace, growing in the power, growing in the strength. And the Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform. We have the opportunity to surrender ourselves. Like the songwriter said, I surrender all to thee, Lord, I surrender. See, we have an opportunity to subdue the flesh, to practice this thing, to think on this thing, and to study the things. We have an opportunity to study, to where we can study the Word of God and apply ourselves and continually think upon God and the wonderful things of God, to where we can get greater in faith and greater in faith and greater in faith. And instead we feed our bellies. And instead we're running around wondering about another car or getting us a house or getting us some land or getting us another frock, you know, or enjoying the things of the world. We're running around giving our entire life. When Jesus said, Isn't your body worth more than the raiment that you use it up to obtain? He said, isn't your life worth more than the food that you use your life up to get to put into your belly? He said, isn't your life worth more? Isn't my life worth more than my belly? Isn't my body worth more than the clothing that I might obtain by putting in long, weary hours, working at night and doing whatever I can, using my strength up, using my body up? Isn't my body worth more than the raiment I'll obtain out of it? Jesus said, your life and body is worth more than the things that you're trying to obtain. You know what you do? You use up your life to obtain things. Something keeps saying, get things, get things. Satan does that because he is the prince of this world, and he savors the things that be of the flesh. Have your jolly good time. Intermingle one with another with your gullible desire for passions and overindulgence. Satan says do that because, as I say, he's the fallen angel. It requires at least twice or three times or many more times the inspiration for him than it does for your spirit. And so he comes into you, and you can't be satisfied with a reasonable meal. You've got to eat like a pig, and then you're overweight. You can't be satisfied with a reasonable life as to human relation, as to man and woman, to reproduction. You've got to be like an old horse, an old goat. You know, and you overindulge until you've burned your bodies up, and you've used your bodies up, and you've burned your mind up, and you've been like an old devil. You understand what I'm saying? You can't be satisfied with moderation in all things, as the Bible said, let your moderation be known in all things. You can't be temperate. You don't have the fruits of the Spirit. You can't be temperate. The devil won't let you be temperate. You've got to overeat. You've got to overdrink. You've got to overdo everything. You can't just spend in a moderate way, you know, and have a moderate income. You've got to make extra money, and you've got to spend for this, and you've got to buy this, and you've got to buy that. And as a consequence of that, you don't have nothing to give to God. See, that's the difference between sonship and beast. That's the determining factor. When you can be temperate, when you can be moderate in all things, then you bring your body under subjection, that proves your sonship. But when you can't and you're wild with these other things, that proves that you are a beast, and some of you brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. So then, we are trying to subdue the body. We are trying to perfect holiness unto the Lord in our body, to be holy in our body. We have already the power of God. We have already Christ in our life, according to the measure that we will allow to be in there. Already these things are in there. So then what's the problem? He said, faithless, faithless, faithless. You're not doing anything to build your faith in God. You're not doing anything to excite your faith in God. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if I have power, I have faith. But the Bible said faith without works is dead. See, your faith is there, but your faith requires works. You've got to have works. There's no way that you can do it with your faith unless you have works. And God has to work through your faith. But when it comes to salvation, God doesn't work through your faith. It is through Christ's faith, the faith which is by him. And the Bible said we're sanctified by the faith which is in him. So then it's a different thing altogether. But if I'm going to be used of God, then I have to do a different thing. That's why the Bible said being saved is if by fire, all of your works being burned, bringing no fruits to perfection. You don't subdue the body. You don't get down to business with God. You're just willing to feed your belly from Monday till Sunday. And you're willing to do everything that you can for the flesh. You don't have any interest in the Spirit. See, and that means that you are completely cut out of the things of God. I say this again. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, look what we do at Bethlehem. I read to you the other night about forsaking your first love. And it said here that you had labored, not fainted for his name's sake. The Bible said that you hated the needs of the Nicolaitans. And it went on to say many things, but it said you're fallen. with all of these works, with all that you've done. He said you need to get up from where you've fallen from and get back to your first love. That with all that you're doing, you don't have the ego and you don't have the drive and you don't have the inspiration and you don't have that burning desire for God that you need on the inside. With all that you were doing, the disciples here are doing some great things. But all of a sudden they've hit something here that they can't handle. They don't know what to do with it. So Jesus comes along and Jesus does it. And they say to him, why could not we do that? And he said, faithless generation, you don't have the faith to do it, he said. Though he's given them power over all the powers of the enemy, they've not subdued the body. In that he said, this kind can go forth by nothing but by prayer. You're going to have to do some praying, Peter. James and John, you're going to have to do some praying. You're going to have to do some fasting. You're going to have to do some subduing the flesh if you expect to have this kind of move in your life. So then we see that God is telling us something here. No matter what we've done, we need to do more. But the Bible said, a living sacrifice is just a reasonable service. We've not even got around to a reasonable service. These people that had labored not fainted had not got around to a reasonable service yet. He said, you need to do something. You need to get up. You need to be about your Father's business. A living sacrifice. That's why I say the church of today is just, it's like a plaything. The church of today with their very best is just playing. That's all they're doing. They wonder why we don't have the greatness of God in our midst and God moving in a mighty, dynamic way. It's because we play like children. See, we play like children. Monday to Sunday, and that's it. And we're looking for our homes, looking for our income. Every man turned to his own way. He's seeking his own gain, looking to his own quarter to see what he's going to get in life. He says, I want something in life. In the early church, they were selling everything they had. They were pulling out of the world. They were getting away from the world. And there those people was getting together to where they could worship God and break bread from day to day and do nothing but worship God, serve God. That's all they wanted to do. That's all they wanted to do. That's all that they needed to do. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, you just can't do that all the time. The Bible said to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that God took them out of Egypt and he provided for them thousands of people right out in the wilderness to where there wasn't anything. And they did not go lacking for anything. Did you lack any good thing? It was said to them. He that walketh upright before God shall lack no good thing. No good thing, but yet you've got to do it your way. So if you do it your way, that's the way it's going to be. Seek ye first your desire. Seek ye first your job. Seek ye first your business. Seek ye first the thing that you want to do. Seek ye first, and you'll find out that you are void, that you are empty, that you are confessing and that you have nothing, that you are a Laodicean church, as he said it would be in the latter time. He said, you saying that you have a name and yet you're dead. The Laodicean church, remember that now. This church that I spoke to you about the other night, here was an Ephesian church. That was the Ephesus age. See, and even in that age, he found fault with them. And them doing all those kind of things. And now here we are down to the Laodicean church age. And to the Laodicean church age, he didn't even say that you had kept his name. He didn't even say that you hadn't fainted. He said, you're lukewarm and you're Laodicea. And you have a name that you live when you're not living. He said, you're dead. Some twice dead and plucked up by the root. He said it was a sinful and adulterous generation. And the Laodicean church age is people's rights. That everybody was turning to their own thing, doing their own thing. The people, their rights. The preacher wants his rights. Everybody wants his ministry. Everybody wants their own church. Everybody wants their little sect of the Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal and whatever. So he says, this is the Laodicean church age. You look warm. This is what I think of you. I spew you out of my mouth. That makes all of my tables full of vomit. So then, that means that we need to get out of the business. He had given them power over all the powers of the enemy. The Bible said he hath given you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And yet somebody said, the devil's beating my brains out. But he said, nothing shall hurt you. That means that all we've got to do is resist the devil and he'll flee from us. But you know where our mistake is? Somebody said, well, bless God, I'm going to resist him. Bless God, Brother Pike, I've been resisting him. That's not the way to resist the devil. You can run out there with him or to him and do all those kind of things and he'll just tear you into pieces. See, the Bible said, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. The Bible said, draw nigh to God and then resist the devil. See, go to God and get filled with the Spirit. Go to God and get your faith. Get your faith sharpened up in God. Strengthened in God. Go to God. Get your faith right. Get filled with the Spirit. And then go after the devil. Then resist the devil. Then tell the devil where to go to. And he'll be gone like that. Then say, Satan, get thee behind me. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be filled with the Spirit. And then you can say, Satan, leave. And he'll be gone. He'll be gone. You love the Lord? Let's stand together. This is where our problem is. The lack of conformity, the lack of submission, the lack of concern, the lack of fervency. That's why I say when we come to the house of God, let's worship the Lord. If we're going to do it just by being quiet and still, let's be sure that we're in the Spirit and not like a bunch of dead folks. Just being quiet and still don't mean that you're in the Spirit. That can mean that you're dead. See, and hollering and jumping and running don't mean that you're in the Spirit. Let's worship the Lord in the Spirit. Either way we go, let's worship the Lord in Spirit. So then he gave power and authority. Someone would say, never a man spake like this man, for his words were with authority. But the Bible says that he gave them authority. He gave them power. That when they spake, they also spoke with authority. The Bible said that he commanded the unclean spirits, said, and they do obey him. Like the people that run out there and said, we adjure you by this God that Paul preaches. Come out of him. And the Bible said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And he enraged the man or the person that he was in and just tore them. So then don't run out there after the devil to try to do something unless you got God. I've been into some places in the different parts of the world, in Haiti and other places where people worship devils and witch doctors and all kinds of things. I remember one night in Jamaica praying over in the night. Everybody was asleep. One little light back out here away from the house. And I heard a woman screaming. I heard her scream. And it was pitiful. And I ran out into the dark. When I ran out there, I screamed out. I said, leave her alone. And everything became real quiet because I couldn't see anything. And I went over near that little light. All of a sudden, out of his shadows come a big, huge, mean-looking fella. A black man, and he walked up, and he looked at me, and he stood there. This woman was with him. He stood there. And I said, you leave her alone, and don't you bother her anymore. And he looked at me. He just stood there like he could tear me apart. And I don't doubt what he could have done it. I said, you leave her alone. And I rebuked the devil. And that thing broke. And on its way it went. And after a while, out of the light, he went back into the shadows. And that was it. You know what? Because the Lord was with us. The Lord God of heaven was with us. In that island, they'd slit your throat in a minute. Men that were coming in from the sea with a regularity. Drinking all kind of places, a little place not too far from there. Jerry remembers going up there with us. It was the place called Hell. Remember that, Jerry? Boy, I tell you what, that was a terrible place. That was a horrible place. And they were just ready to kill even me and Jerry that night. But still, by faith, God took care of us. You love the Lord? Draw nigh to God, then resist the devil. A lot of times I go into the foreign fields to preach a meeting like we're going into the Philippines, especially in places like Africa. See, and I stay with the Lord all day long. I stay with the Lord all night long. I stay with the Lord. See, and I fast and pray and I stay with the Lord. Some of the other boys and people just going. The first news you know, they're tore all to pieces. They're crying. They're weeping. They're crossed up with their husbands and wives. And they've done run into somebody over here. And they're about to have a free-for-all with somebody. Because the devils have got them. And the devils have overcome them. Even my David Paul called back from Kenya. He said, Daddy, he said, I thought I knew what I was doing. He said, I didn't learn something. He said, I've done learned something. And he was tore all to pieces. And I had to get him calmed down. Because I'd had a vision where they'd killed somebody. And the authorities had gotten him. And when I got there, David Paul and Brother Mike too, they was ready to get them men. And they told me in no little way. And they were in a rage. And Betty and I tried to calm them down. And man, I was going down there and they were just going to beat them with their fist. I mean, that's going to give them a whipping. And I had a time calming David Paul down and getting him to his room. And Mike, too, because Mike was just like a firecracker. See, what it is, devils will actually just, they'll grind at you in such a way till they get you tore all to pieces. And here in America, they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. An old gossiping devil, an old lust devil, an old cheating, an old swindling devil. An old devil of pride, some kind of old evil spirit, whatever it might be. And folks, they're eating you up. They're eating you like worms. You need to draw nigh to God. Then you can resist the devil. And you'll overcome your flesh, and nobody else will bother you either. Because if you overcome your flesh, you've overcome the devil and everybody else's flesh. And he can't give you a hard way to go. You've got power over him. You've got that power. But you've got to learn to utilize it. You've got the gifts. You've got God. You've got eternal life. But if you're going to enjoy it, you're going to have to master the flesh. All right, let's sing together, can we? Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart. Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing with me? How many of you had devils broke off of you? Devils had you. When you came to Bethlehem, devils had you. Boy, and some of you had some bad ones. But God broke the devils off of you. We've been able by the blessings of God to cast the devil out of some of you and to break the devil off of you and help keep the devil away from you. That's right. We've had him come here ugly and mean and drunk, fighting and cursing and snorting. We've had him right here at the church. Come right up to the door. Come right down to my house in that kind of condition. But the Bible said resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Tonight, you're free from the devil. The devil don't have any power over your life. You have the lovely Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And the strong man of God has gone in and he's bound the strong man of evil. And now, there's no power over you as to the devil. You've got power over him. And you need to help someone else. And you need to draw nigh to God. And you need to submit yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord. And submit yourself to the ministry as they that watch for your soul. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart. If you'll listen to the word of God while we're preaching, the Bible said he sent his word and healed them. And with his word, he cast out the unclean spirits. And with the minister speaking, it's not him speaking, but God speaking. It's the Father speaking. And he'll break those demons off of you. And he'll drive out the unclean spirits. And he'll cause your mind to be free from the bondage of the beggarly elements of the world. And you'll find yourself loose from those desires. And you'll think, well, I don't desire that way anymore. I don't think that way anymore. I don't feel that way anymore. Like my son George Jr. was telling me today, I'd been watching the revelation as what was to happen to him. And it happened just exactly to a T, the way the Lord said. And he said, you know, Dad, I don't even think like I used to think. I said, I just don't even think like I used to think. God will break devils off. If you pray for your loved ones, if you minister the word of God, I just spoke to people just face to face. And maybe a spirit of insanity, maybe a fierce killer spirit, or some kind of a spirit, all kind of spirits. And just stand and speak the word of God. 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 And with power and with authority, the devils went out. The devils went out. Because you have the power to do that. You have the power to be witnesses for Christ. And you have the power to do that. You have the power to do that. You should utilize your ability. You should be thankful that the yoke is broken. The anointing will break the yoke. And where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. You should be grateful. So grateful. That's a blessing to your wife. That's a blessing to your little children. That's a blessing to you. That's a blessing to your neighbors. That's a blessing to the people. And now you have opportunity to escape. You're not imprisoned anymore. You've escaped. You have your liberty. Don't be again entangled with the beggarly elements of the world, to be under bondage to things. You spend all of your life and you use up your life getting things because the devil is in the lust of the flesh. But then after that, you would give all of those things to get your life back. You'll use up your life getting things, and then you want to give the things to get the life back that you used up. Can you sing with me? Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Oh, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. at the cross, the altars are open. I saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Sing it with me now. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy. Sing it with me. Oh, at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Savior, sweep over. Can you sing that with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Evermore I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, I need thee now. Precious Savior, and oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Come to my Savior and hear his sweet voice Don't turn Jesus away. Do you love the Lord? Let's lift our hands up and tell Him how much we love Him. Can you? Hallelujah. Father, tonight we want to take a minute to tell you how much we love you. Receive our feeble efforts toward the great and mighty throne of your majesty. Receive our praise and honor and glory, whereby we glorify your name. Oh, Ramanda Ramanaya. Oh, Ramanda Ramashandra Ramanana Manaya. Ula mandali andala mashandriya ramasai. Ula mandali andali ala mosaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise your lovely name, Jesus. Lord, we give glory to your wonderful name. Look down upon us. Receive our praise. Lord, as we sing to you, as we worship your great loving spirit. Holy Father, bless us. Bless us. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it is the spirit of the Lord. Can you sing it? There's a sweet, sweet spirit of His grace, and I know it is the spirit of my Lord. Let's give Him another hand, can you? Somebody say hallelujah. How wonderful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. It's wonderful to have a little place called Bethlehem. To be like Jesus. Just to be like Jesus. On earth I long, just to be like Him. By grace forgiven and akin to heaven, on earth I long to be like Him. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Sing it with me. Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely
There is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, God help my will to crumble. For though, can you sing it again with me? Do you want him to use you? Jesus, won't you use me? And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work. Sing it again. Let the Lord use Jesus, won't you use me? No, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. So Jesus, won't sing it with me. No, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Don't you want him to use it? Even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Can you sing it? Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. One more time. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing. Sing it with me. We're bringing in the sheep. Bringing in. And we shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheep. We're bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing. Sing it with me now. Oh, we're bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, all around the world, going to all the world. Well, we're bringing in the sheep. Bethlehem is bringing in the sheep. Joycing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. Oh, we're bringing in the sheep. Here we are rejoicing, we're bringing, sing it one more time, the world around, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep all over the world. We shall come rejoicing, bringing. You know, everything that you do, every dollar that you give, every prayer that you prayed, every time that you fasted, every time you bid us Godspeed, every time you stood with us around the world, you've been bringing in the sheaves. In the sheaves, we're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We come rejoicing, bringing in. One more time. Well, we're bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in, oh, bringing in the sheep. Just think, when you stand before God, stand there giving him a wave offering and praising his name. Hallelujah. You look up at him. Look right at him and say, we're bringing in the sheaves, Father. Bringing in the sheaves. Here we come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, hallelujah, hallelujah. Here we come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. You know, the Lord will look at him. Here comes somebody behind you, somebody that you invited to church, and somebody that you told about Jesus in a little Bethlehem, and about our Heavenly Father, and here they follow you right on in. And we're bringing in the sheaves, Father, bringing in the sheaves. Here we come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, Father, bringing in your sheaves. Here we are rejoicing, we're bringing in the sheaves. give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. Will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. Cause it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Cause it's good enough. Oh, give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Sing it with me, folks. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Love everybody. Love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion, give me that old time religion, good enough for me. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. So be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white. And we're ready when the bride. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. Are you ready? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Yes, we're ready for that bridegroom to come. So be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in polished white, and I'm ready for the bride. Can you sing that with me, folks? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. We're ready for that bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, and I'm all dressed in bottleless white, and I'm ready for the bride. One more time. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. Sing it again with me. Better get ready for the bridegroom. Better get ready for the bridegroom. Morning, noon, or night, gonna be dressed in spotless white. Oh, be ready for the bridegroom come. When a young girl gets engaged as a Jew, you're brought out into the tent one night over in Kentucky, but things that take place. And one of the things is she has to stay ready because the man goes away for X amount of months to build a place, then he comes back to receive her. You know, he sets the wine on the table. Hallelujah. And if she sips of his wine, that means she's accepted him. Then he goes away to build a place.
And then one night, about midnight, called the midnight cry. About midnight, there is the bridegroom comes. And he has somebody that's with him, a friend of the bridegroom. And the friend goes out, and he screams out in the night, "Oh, the bridegroom cometh!" And that little maid, she raises up real quick. She runs over and lights the candle. She's got everything ready. And she gets dressed already. Just within a few minutes, she has to do this. And out she's gone. Nobody knows where she went except the bridegroom come for her. And then it's X amount of days, weeks, or months before anybody sees them again. She's ready. "Be also ready, for in an hour thee think not, the bridegroom cometh." And the bridegroom is close to coming, folks. I'm a friend of the bridegroom. And I've come to tell you, he's coming. He's coming. You love the Lord? I said, "He's coming." And he says, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Be ready. Light your candle. Go you out to meet him." You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus. "And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more." Sing it with me now. "For time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time won't be no more. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. They've come from the east and the west. They've come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine. We'll bless, partake as of God's grace, as gems in his crown do shine. They'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the land, from over the sea. Had some here the other day. Feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding our old face, and aglow with light divine. They'll bless, partake, 'cause all
His grace as gems in His crown to shine.
Let's sing this little chorus.
I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden, and I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him all the way. For where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Will you follow Him? Oh, where He leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with Him, with Him all the way. And He will give me of His grace and of His glory. He will give to you of His grace and His glory. He'll give to you of His grace and His glory. And He'll go with you, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I feel God breaking the yoke. He will give to you of His grace and glory. He will give to you of His grace. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, He will give to you, just think now, Jesus will give to you of His grace and of His glory. Can you imagine the glory of God? And He appeared in glory, and His raiment glistened, and His raiment glistened. For where He leads me, I will follow. Can you sing with me? Where He leads me, I will follow. God bless this couple. Hallelujah. Bless this couple. He leads me, I will follow. For I'll go with Him, with Him all the way. Sing it with me again. For He will give me of His grace and His glory. He will give me of His grace and His glory. Oh, He will give me of His grace and His glory. And I'll go with Him all the way. Gone, that stone is rolled back. Gone, that tomb, it's empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, He's gone. of a death triumphant gone, faded gone, and he lives forevermore. For he's gone, the stone is rolled back, that tomb is empty gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, all the death triumphant gone, sin is defeated gone, and he lives forevermore. I will praise him. I will praise him.
Can you praise the Lord?
The Lord for sinners slain and give him glory on people, for his blood has washed away.
Let's sing it again.
And we will praise him, the Lord for sinners slain, and we'll give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed the way every stand. When we stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all.
Sing it again.
That he's prepared gives me faith that I can make it.
Can you sing it again?
For after all is over and my burdens have been lifted, and the stand looking over into that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Reach out, let's touch the Lord as he goes by, you will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry, or he's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find God's not too busy to hear your heart's cry, for he's passing by this moment your needs to supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord and he goes by. Do you love him? Oh, he touched me. Jesus, touch me. And oh, joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that he touched me and he made me whole. Sing it with me. Oh, Jesus, touch me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Can you sing that with me? Let's make 100. And a half. Oh, come on, sister. Let's make 100 of 99 and a half. Oh, come on, brother. Let's make 100. 99. Oh, come on, sister. Let's make 100. 99 and a half. Come on, sing it with me. Oh, come on, brother. Let's make 199 and a half. Oh, come on, sister. Let's make 199 and a half. Oh, you've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move, you've got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. They put old Paul in the Roman jail, didn't have no one to go his way. But when the Lord got ready, he had to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. Ah, when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. But old Daniel. Dear old Daniel didn't have a friend. in the Lord. God ready and moving, and moving, and moving. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. You've got to move. For when the Lord, yeah, it's ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Well, he spoke to the lame could walk. Kind of a man Jesus is. And he spoke to the dumb, dumb could talk. Kind of a man Jesus is. Oh, Ananias, Ananias, tell me what kind. You've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, for when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. You've
rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad.
For Jesus made me glad, Jesus made me glad, and I rejoice because he made me glad. Jesus made me glad, Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Let's lift our hands up, can we? Jesus made us glad. You know, isn't it wonderful to praise God? Someone would say, well, how long should we praise Him? All day long and all night long. The Bible said in thousands and thousands and tens of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands begin to praise God from beneath the earth, on the earth and heaven. And all the angels no doubt were saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, long live the King, glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do we really praise Him, folks? Hallelujah, hallelujah, do you really praise Him? Have you given Him praise and honor and glory? Hallelujah. Soon we'll be over in the Philippine Islands and we'll be waving our hands with them people like we was before. Hallelujah. We were waving our hands and we were praising God. And as we preached, they stood up back in the grandstand there, and they waved their hands and they hollered out and they screamed and tears run down the cheeks, and people flooded down when we got ready to pray for them at the altar, and we're singing, glorifying God. The choir of the young girls and boys was standing out there in tears down, running down their cheeks, and some of them fell down on their knees in the choir there, and they were singing to the top of their voice, praising God. Praising God, not 45-minute service. They were praising God from over in the evening, over into the night. They were praising God. They were singing praises to the Lord. Singing and praising God. Do you love the Lord? Do you know how to praise God? Would you like to praise the Lord? Would you like to praise the Lord? Isn't that the way to do it? That's why we sing, let us praise Him. Let us praise Him in the morning. Let us praise Him when the sun goes down. These young boys and young girls, they got a lot of energy. They need to use it for Jesus. Use it for Jesus.
Use your energy for Jesus. Just use your body up for Jesus. And He'll give you a brand new body. He'll make it to where it'll outshine the noonday sun, and it will glisten. Did you know that? It will literally glisten. Hallelujah. While you've got your little hands lifted up, I just feel there's still something the Lord would like to do for just a few minutes. Hallelujah. I want us to come together more to praise Him, to love Him, to do something for God in a greater, in a more effective way, to have an effectual praise to God, to get more into the Spirit, to let the gifts work more. See, when you start praising God, that's when the gifts start working. I heard something back there a while ago. It sounded like the gifts of the Lord was trying to work a while ago. See, to praise Him, to enter into the Spirit. The Bible said that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Isn't that right? Can we sing it together? Won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Things I said to you in the sermon tonight is to help you to know that you're already His, altogether His. And all He's wanting you to do is to surrender, surrender, surrender to God. Surrender your thoughts, surrender your desires, surrender your body, surrender your way of life. Surrender, surrender, I surrender all to Thee, Lord, I surrender. I surrender all. I think a lot of times the man wrote the song, I love to tell the story. It will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. While we're standing here, our hearts, our minds on the Lord. We took a little bit long tonight just to fellowship. I know that in a little while we're going over into the Philippine Islands. And I'd like for you to just kind of get filled up of praising the Lord and loving the Lord and being filled with the Spirit. So that if you go with me, you can help me. If not, if you stay on the home front, you can help the people on the home front. That you can have enough to share with others. The virtue went out of Jesus' body. And it went into the heart of the others. And when we're filled up with the Spirit, then we share with the thirsty. Those that are thirsty, those that are longing, those that are just pining within the heart just for a little relief, a little blessing, a little hope, a little help. You know, the virtues of the Lord go out of us into those bodies that believe, into those hearts that believe. We're the temple of the living God. It was said in the days of Solomon that anyone looking toward this temple believing, he'll be healed. Look toward this temple and you'll be saved. Because out of that temple as He walked, went forth virtue and it healed the people. And today we're to be filled with that virtue, be filled with that Spirit. So that when people get near us, even if we just speak to them, it'll break spirits off of them. And they'll receive of that virtue that flows out from God. I know you're probably tired. We all get tired, but I just feel like we could just praise God and praise God and praise God and praise God. I really feel that way. The Lord gives us that strength. So then while we've got our hands lifted up, our eyes closed, I want to bless you tonight. The Bible said that whosoever the minister blesses shall be blessed. Whosoever he curses shall be cursed. Whosoever sins he shall remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins he shall retain shall be retained. And tonight, I want to bless you tonight. Thank you, baby. I want to bless you tonight. I want to bless you because you're the sheep of my pastor. I want to bless you. I want God to bless you in body and spirit. I want God to bless you financially. I want God to bless you by lifting the oppression. Bless you to heal you, to lead you, to guide you, to talk to you, to use you in the Spirit. I want to bless you tonight. I want you to lift up your hands and close your eyes. Father of heaven tonight, I pray a blessing upon these people. Everyone here that's willing to hear your voice tonight, willing to submit their lives to you, Lord, willing to follow me as I follow Christ. Those that are the sheep of my pastor tonight, they're your sheep, Heavenly Father. And everyone heareth thy voice, for thy sheep know thy voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And tonight as they follow you, I bless your sheep tonight. I bless them in the name of Jesus. Because of what Jesus done, I bless them. I bless them. I feel your blessing them tonight. I bless them, Jesus. Lord, I feel the rain coming down. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling on these as when Peter spake to them. I bless them with the Holy Ghost. I bless them with the virtue that's coming down from the throne tonight. I bless them with health and happiness. I bless their loved ones. Oh God, I bless them according to your prayer, Lord, that you prayed for us. I bless them by faith, according to their believing, as they follow us and believe in this wonderful Christ in our heart. I bless them. Heal them and save them, oh God. Heal them and save them tonight. Lord, as they believe, with your eyes closed and your hands lifted up, as you believe, we've sent out a blessing that you might receive it. We've sent out a blessing. While you've got your hands up, if you want this blessing, believe in your heart now as we sing together with your eyes closed and your hands lifted up. We're going to sing, Have Faith in God.
Have faith in God.
Hallelujah. Lord, bless us and bless us. Heal us in the body tonight. Father, you're so great in the sermon tonight. Heal them tonight. Save them tonight. Oh, God, bless us in the body. In Jesus' lovely name.
Have faith.
Believe now. Lord, bless these little children. My little boys here tonight. My little girls here tonight. Bless them, Father. Bless them. Can you sing, Have Faith in God? Bless them tonight. I want you to be blessed tonight. Make up your mind that you're going to be holy, godly, and pure, and you're going to walk with the Lord. God bless everyone here tonight that will believe. Everyone that will receive our blessing tonight by faith to walk with the Lord, to give their hearts, their bodies, their minds, and their souls to you. To appear without spot, without blemish, body, soul, and spirit in that day. Can you sing it?
Oh, faith in God.
Sing it, folks.
Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God for your blessing. Have faith in God.
Sing it one more time.
Help, Lord, bless these people.
Father, bless these people. Father, heal these people tonight. Bless them and heal them tonight. Bless them and heal them tonight. Father, give them the blessings of the Lord. Bless them financially, Lord. Give them the desires of their heart. Make them to ride upon the high places of the earth. Let your blessing make rich and add no sorrow. Bless them that they may blossom as a rose, that all the world may see them blossom, Father, in their prosperity. So have faith.